So we're really excited to bring a message this morning that we've been kind of talking about for the last few weeks. We're going to talk about baggage, and you can play along in your pews, and you can fill out the answers on your insert as we go. It is going to be interactive. I have some help here in a few moments that are going to, some students that are going to help with that. So no pressure. We always give this rule in youth group that, you know, if you don't want to answer, you don't have to. But I will warn you that Jacob's going to have a microphone and he just might shove it in your face. So be prepared. So let's talk about the things that we carry in our day-to-day life. Just think of the things that you perhaps have on you and in your pockets even right now. Or in your handbags or purses or whatever. Do you, if you had to guess, what are the top 10 things that people carry with them? Okay, so you just nod your head if you're carrying any of these things right now. So the first one are keys. Do you have keys? Okay, that's number one. A wallet. Okay, how about a pen or a paper? Anybody ever carry a pen or a paper? I always, Reagan, show my backpack. I bring my backpack almost everywhere, and it's always got a journal and pens and Sharpies and whatnot. Thank you, very nice. I bring it with me all the time because if I get an idea, I got to write it down. So I carry a notebook with me. A cell phone. How many of you guys have a cell phone with you? Now, in this day and age, and I know specifically with students, the days that you forget your cell phone, it's like a weird feeling, isn't it? It is. We're so used to having it, and when it's not with us, we almost feel like something's missing in our life, okay? How about food or candy? I mean, you guys, I hear some right now, so yes, you've got some candy. No, I don't know. Food or candy? Identification? Yeah? How about hand sanitizer? It's January in Ohio. You should be carrying, if you're a teacher, I see all the teachers are nodding their head. Hand sanitizer, yes. Glasses, if you have glasses. And then the 10th one was chapstick, if you got any chapstick with you. Okay, good. It's that time of year. So those are the top 10 things that people carry with them on a day-to-day basis. There are some other things that we carry. Some are literal, some are figurative. In our head, think of all the things that we sort of carry around with us. Have you ever made a grocery list sitting in the pew? Okay, so you're keeping in your head, you're carrying with you your to-do list or the things that you need to get at Giant Eagle afterwards. Never go to Giant Eagle on a Sunday after church. Never do it. It's too busy. Maybe there are some other things you're carrying around, like agendas, your thoughts, your opinions, and this continuous 24-hour news cycle. You sometimes can't escape even from thinking about stuff that's happening in the world. Maybe in your hands you carry around your work, or if you have little ones, you're literally carrying the ones you love. But also on our shoulders, we carry from day to day our life struggles, our financial burdens, perhaps some relationship baggage, or even some emotional cargo. And I think that we know that all of these things add to a giant weight that has been placed upon us. And so that's what we'll be talking about this morning. We want to unpack some of the damaging baggage that we all have that become these burdens on our journey of life and faith. Some of the journeys are collective journeys that we are collective burdens that we carry together. Others are individual burdens that some may not even know about. So we're going to talk about that, but I want some help from some of our students. So I'm going to bring Jacob Brown up here, and we are going to have kind of a little game show right now. And Jacob's going to be my co-host. I need to get the game show music, don't I?
Yeah, get the music.
So let me get some game show music for you. So
I just see if it was on.
Okay, go ahead and read your first prize here.
First, I need my...
Oh, go ahead, yeah.
Okay, welcome ladies and gentlemen. We're playing a game show called Baggage. Not the one that's already on TV, but like the off-brand version. Let's see what's inside suitcase number one. It's the state that nobody wants to live in. And no, I'm not talking about Ohio. I'm talking about the state of mental tension or stress. And this is worry caused by problems in your life, at work, or at school for us younger folk. And it can be physically exhausting. Let's see who wins this prize. Come on down, Anna and Bella. Woo! This isn't just any stress, but it's emotional stress that stays around for weeks, months, or even your lifetime. Isn't that just great? It can weaken the immune system, cause high blood pressure, fatigue, depression, or anxiety. How does it make you feel?
Well, I was kind of stressed about getting here on time, and now all of those side effects, I'm a little stressed about that, and now I'm stressed about talking in front of you guys, so Bella.
Ditto.
How is stress a burden for you or for students like you?
Everything stresses me out. Everything I do causes me stress. When I sleep, this is stressing me out. And when I'm stressed, I stress eat because I'm stressed.
Stress is like a little gnat that is always annoying and is always around you, so it's kind of like Bella.
Okay, now's the part where I come down to the audience and ask about the burden of stress in adult life. I need some volunteer, otherwise it's going to anyone.
What do you want?
How is stress a burden in life?
Work is stressful.
Work is stressful?
It is
work.
Stressful.
Okay.
She's a teacher, by the way, so she has to deal with kids like Damien. Come on. Oh, fine. Anyone? Volunteers? Scott.
Can you press that? Yes.
So what's the question again?
How is stress a burden in your life?
How is stress a burden in my life? Yeah, teenagers, you know, running the house, you know. And then obviously with my job, I just want to make sure I do the right thing for the right people at the right time, so.
Anybody else?
Any other volunteers before I...
The volunteer.
Oh, hey, Nick. This is Nick, everybody.
School.
School.
School. I relate.
Very good. So I think it's understandable that we all do deal with stress, and sometimes we stress eat. You didn't bring enough to share, unfortunately, but we deal with all different kinds of stress, and we'll unpack that a little bit more in a few minutes. But we want to move on to suitcase number two, which is?
Suitcase number two. It's an 8-letter word that rhymes with fizziness. Show them the front. This suitcase is from my personal collection. I bring it to all my retreats, anything that fits a week's worth of clothes.
Correct-ish.
And this is just a reminder not to be too buzzy in your life and to take time and relax. And the winner of this suitcase full of busyness is Lily and Ariel. Come on down. And often in our lives, it's busy, full of meaningless activities. Any comments on your prize?
You know, Jake, I feel a little conflicted. I like being busy, as my parents can probably vouch for. But it gets to be a little too much sometimes.
Yeah, I can agree to that. Sometimes it just starts to stack up and you can't get rid of all the busy stuff you're doing.
And how is busyness a burden for you or for students like you?
Well, as a senior in high school, I've got to say I got a lot of stuff going on. So in my personal life, I've got extracurricular activities like Girl Scouts. I'm in speech and debate right now. I used to do track and cross country, but I got too busy for that. And I got AP classes on top of that. Since I'm a senior, I also have college stuff I got to work on. So a lot of stuff I'm busy with.
Sounds like fun. Lily?
Oh, yeah, pretty much what Ariel said. It's a lot to deal with in high school. There's a lot of stuff. Sports practices can last a really long time, and then you have to go home and do your homework and write essays and then try to balance your social life on top of that, and that can lead to some stress and anxiety. So, yeah.
Now for your favorite part, audience participation. Any volunteers from this side?
So how
volunteers?
The question would be, how is stress then a part of their life, or how is busyness... part of their life, and is it overwhelming or not?
Is anyone busy in here? Just by show of hands, how many of you are busy? That's a surprising low number. Where?
Six kids.
Enough said.
That's enough said. Any other volunteers to talk about their busy lives? Their buzzy lives? I'm funny.
Well, I want you to think for a second. I want you to make some mental notes right now. I want you to think about your daily schedule, and I want you just to think about all the things that you do from day to day. Just mental notes right now. So, and then, do you ever just get overwhelmed when you begin to think about all the things that are on your schedule? It can be quite a burden, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Thank you. All right, let's go to suitcase number three.
Suitcase number three. It's like a never-ending bridge of troubled waters. The prize always hanging around, but don't fret. It just gives anxiety and unease. I'm just anxious just thinking about it. It's worry. Let's see who gets this one. Natalie and Krista, our favorite pair of siblings. And you might think that if you worry enough, you can prevent bad things from happening. But in reality, worrying too much is the bad thing that you're trying to prevent by doing the worrying of the bad thing. So it's just a circle of worry, and it's not good. And when worry becomes excessive, it can lead to feelings of high anxiety and cause me physically ill. How do you feel about your prize?
It's not good.
I'm worried.
How is worry a burden in your life or life of students in general?
I personally worry a lot about other people instead of myself.
I'm the exact opposite. I don't worry about anything, and I don't like to be swept up in stress.
Okay. Once again, favorite part of the day. How is worrying a part of your lives as adults? Okay, first, show of hands, how many of you worry in your lives? That's more like it. Anyone care to share about their worrying habits or tendencies? Another teacher.
As a teacher, we like to think that we're in control a lot of times. And when things go wrong, not only in the classroom, but outside of the classroom, if things happen that aren't anticipated, you're always worried because you don't know what's going to happen.
As a student, I know teachers worry a lot.
About you?
Any other worry? Some people's? Okay.
Ooh. Right there.
Yes.
I worry about loved ones and their health and getting in accidents. And sometimes, yeah, I do.
She worries about everything.
I need to find something to worry about. But I know that doesn't help.
So everybody worries, and there are certainly a lot of things for us to worry about. Now, what we want to do for the rest of our time together is we're going to unpack these three things. And again, you can play along with your inserts if you want to. You guys can have a seat. And what we want to start with, we're going to go back to the first one that we talked about, which was stress. And we want to kind of talk about some things that can help us overcome this burden, these burdens that are often come into our lives. Sometimes they're temporary, but other times they're sort of long-term. And so the first thing we want to talk about is stress. And I think the thing that we need to do to start to work on the stress in our life is that we need to cry out. We can't keep it bottled up inside, or it's going to lead to perhaps some bad things in your life. Let me give you a few statistics on stress. So 50% of teenagers struggle with stress on a daily basis. 37% of adults, that's compared to 37% of adults. Now, 44% of people in America say that stress is increasing in their life, not decreasing. As far as students go, this is definitely something that we see that's on the rise, is students who are struggling with stress and anxiety and even depression. One thing that I thought was really interesting over the past couple years that I've become more aware of, Kay and I actually get to sit on a counseling advisory board with the guidance counselors for all of Wadsworth City Schools, and we meet a couple times a year at the high school. And so in 2016, the guidance counselors had given a survey to students in kindergarten through 12th grade. And there were a series of questions on this survey, but one of the questions was, what is the biggest struggle in your life right now? From kindergarten through 12th grade, every grade had the same number one answer, and that was stress. I found that to be shocking, that even our 5-year-olds in our community are struggling with stress. And we lived in a culture that is very stressed out, I think we could say. They took that same poll and that same quiz in 2017, and the answers were exactly the same. So our students in our community are struggling with stress, and the statistics are there to show it. We know that there are some triggers in stress that can lead to depression as well, and those statistics are on the rise. 1 in 5 young adults struggle with depression. It's more than any other generation. 26% is the depression rate amongst teenagers, and 3/4 of those are girls. There's a direct connection between depression and suicide, which is something that we should be and are very aware of within our community. And it's affecting a lot of communities like ours as well and in the schools. So what can we do as a body of Christ to help handle our stress better? So let's talk about that a little bit. So I think that crying out is a first main important point. I think that we need to be willing to have the difficult discussions, and I don't know that that's always something that is that people are willing to have. Nobody really wants to talk about the things that they're struggling with, but I'm happy that in the student ministry, at least, we have facilitated, we do our best at least to facilitate conversations. And back in November, actually, we invited in a guest speaker to come and share with our students, someone who has started a nonprofit called Be the Light, and her name was Melissa, and she came and shared with our students and even with our parents and talked a little bit about how she has dealt with stress and depression in her life. And then we had some time and even some follow-up a couple weeks later to have some conversation on what are some practical steps that as students they could take, and I think these would also apply to adults, to help manage their stress a little bit better. So I have Leah and Reagan are going to come, and they're going to share some of the things that we came up with as we were sort of talking and learning about how we could better handle stress when the triggers come our way.
Okay, so we came up with be thankful, make a list, find quiet time, talk it out, eat well, avoid caffeine, and listen to chill music.
And then we also have gather with friends, reading books, sleeping, actually making your bed, ask for help, set goals every day, and acknowledge your weaknesses and strengths.
Thank you. You can take that back. Thank you for sharing. So, so those are definitely some practical steps that you can take in your life to help when stress comes your way. I do think it's important to talk about it. I think it's important to know that you're not the only one who's struggling with whatever it is that you're struggling with. Some of the things that, the ideas that were shared, I know I'm going to share what Patrick's idea was. He says, that, tell me if this is true, he once drove from Wadsworth to Toledo in complete silence. Is that right? And that was like his way of sort of de-stressing. That would actually make me more stressed, I think. But for him, that's what works. So I think you have to find the things in your life that are going to work for you. And I think by talking with other people, you might realize that there are some things perhaps that might work for you as well. But crying out and being honest, not only with your friends, but in front of God, with the things that are kind of causing that stress and anxiety in your life, I think is an important step. But I want to remind you to be patient in the process. Isaiah 40:31, the prophet reminds us, says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. When we are patient with God, we find strength in those moments. Another word, in another translation of this same passage says, those that hope in the Lord, or those who trust in the Lord. So there, I think it's interesting that we often do strengthen our trust and our hope in God. It often comes through times when we are slowing down and being quiet and just waiting patiently on God. So be mindful of that as we deal with our own baggage in our day-to-day life, whether it be stress or other things. So the second thing we want to talk about is with busyness, perhaps we just need to log off. Now, if you're like us, we have a family of 5. We have a calendar, like a big calendar in our kitchen. For a while, it used to be a monthly calendar where we would kind of use dry erase markers, color-coded, to kind of keep track of all the different activities. Anybody relate to something like that? Because it gets hectic. And especially, I feel like I'm just like an Uber driver for my kids, except I don't get paid for it. It's just like driving them around to their places, to practices, to school activities, to friends, whatever it may be. But we would keep this big calendar in our kitchen. Now, for a while, it was a monthly calendar, but that was almost too overwhelming. So now it's just a weekly calendar, and we can just write down all the things that are happening so that we make sure that we don't miss anything. It definitely highlights our busyness. And I got to be honest, there are times when I look at that, when it's really full, that I kind of take a little bit of pride in it, like, yeah, we're busy. Because I don't know why, but in America, we sort of wear busyness like a badge of honor. But I don't know if that's actually the way we should be doing it. I'm kind of like Lily. It can be conflicting. You know, we want to be busy. We want to be doing things. But then sometimes we're so busy, we end up missing out on the small little moments in life that we would probably want to cherish the most. In America, we are way more busier than in a lot of other cultures. We work, on average, more than any other country. I think it's 10 plus hours a week more than most other Western countries. Vacation days in America, you get 14. Guess what? If you lived in Norway, 70 vacation days. So that's pretty, let's all move to Norway. And the funny thing is, Norway, they have a stronger work ethic than Americans. So they get 70 days off. We don't get enough sleep. The average American adult gets less than 6 hours of sleep a night. If you get less than 6 hours of sleep a night, raise your hand, be honest. Okay, too many of us. Okay? But here's the thing, guys, and I'm speaking specifically to those of us that still have, like, kids in the household. Sometimes I feel like we have this tendency to become so busy that we actually add more stress to the lives of our children. We feel like that busyness is the solution to all of our problems. But maybe we're inadvertently adding more stress to our kids' lives. I'm telling you right now, on more than one occasion, if I had a dollar for every time I saw one of these students walk through the youth doors, the room down in the hall there, with an exhausted look on their face, I'd have a lot of dollars. They are exhausted. They are worn out. And there is a lot of pressure that has been placed upon them. What are we doing? Are we adding more to that? Are we helping them take some of that stress and that busyness away? So when it comes to busyness, how about smartphones? This can also consume a lot of our time and almost makes us feel like we're too busy as well. Here's another question for you. How many hours do you think the average American spends on their smartphone? So you think it's more than 1 hour a day? Okay, more than 2 hours? Who says more than 3 hours a day? Okay. Anyone want to say more than 4 hours? So the average American spends 4 hours and 5 minutes on their smartphone a day. All right, so is anybody on it right now? I don't see anybody, so you guys are good. All right. The smartphone, we just need to maybe log off. We're so busy, we're so consumed with all these distractions, perhaps we're not paying attention to the work of God in our life. A God who is at work in and around us. But if we're so busy and so consumed and so distracted, we're going to miss out. So I try to get us to focus on some practical things that we can do to overcome these hectic, busy lives that we live. The gentle reminder that we get from the Psalm 46:10 is that we just need to be still, God says, and just know that I am with you. We've set some challenges in youth group whenever we get together on Sunday nights. That we pass around a basket, and then what do you guys got to do with your phones? They throw them in the basket, and then we have hopefully a cell phone, no cell phone distractions for at least the teaching time of our youth group. I've talked to them before about how we can become practical with how you can even use your smartphone, your device, to help you actually calm, slow down. There are meditation apps if you want to explore those. There are some other things that I've challenged them to do from time to time. Set a timer on your phone to say, Siri, countdown from, or Siri, whatever, what is it? Siri. Countdown from 7 minutes. Place your phone face down on your desk. Don't touch it till the alarm goes off. And just spend that 7 minutes in silence, in prayer and meditation. Simple steps. Baby steps. Start with 1 minute if you have to. Work your way up to 15 or 30 or more. But we need to do what we can to become more aware of how God is at work in the midst of our busy lives so that we don't miss out on the little blessings. A few months back, my daughter got me a journal for a gift. And I wrote on the front of it, it's the little things. And it's my challenge is to every day to write at least one thing that I am thankful for, that I can kind of be reminded of in the midst of all this hecticness in my life, that I could be thankful that God was with me or God provided me or blessed me. So find a practical way in your life to log off so that your busyness does not become a burden that beats you down. And last, we're going to talk about worry. And I think what we need to do with that is easier said than done, but we need to let go. So there are 40 million adults who struggle with worry. It's the most common mental disorder is anxiety. Anxiety amongst teenagers and young adults is higher than it's ever been. 20% amongst teens, 30% amongst teenage girls. And it got me wondering this week, why do we worry? Perhaps it's because we're thinking about things that we can't control, or our fears, or the uncertainty of the future. We certainly love certainty. We want to know what's going to happen. We want to know how things are going to play out. And oftentimes we spend and are consumed by worry as a result of thinking about such things. Paul, the apostle, gives us this gentle reminder in Philippians 4, 6 and 7. He says, do not be anxious about anything. But, he says, turn to me with everything in prayer. Turn to me in prayer. Do not be anxious, but pray. Jesus talked about worry. He said to the disciples in Luke 12, he says, why are you worrying about where you're going to eat or where you're going to sleep or what you're going to wear? Don't I take care of the birds of the air and the beasts of the field? If I can take care of them and their needs are met, of course I'm going to meet your needs as well because I care for you. But it's hard for us to kind of let go, because to let go sometimes means we have to relinquish that control. I thought I'd share really quickly just a story in my life of a time when I was overcome by worry. And it was when I was a senior in college. I had put in some extra time in my college years, a couple years of training and activity to be equipped so that I could potentially get hired to work as somewhere in the broadcast communications field at the 1996 Olympics in Atlanta. It was a special opportunity that I was given through my university that I attended, at Asbury College in Kentucky. They had this contract agreement with Atlanta Olympic Broadcasting Committee so that they could provide students to work a lot of the lower level jobs at the Olympics. But you had to go through some required courses above and beyond your typical college classes. And so I put in the work, spent time through the summers going to summer school to get equipped and trained and certified, took the classes, and was ready to get hired. And all I was waiting on was a letter that would say what my job would be and where I needed to be and what I would be doing. Most of my peers that I went through the training with, they had received their letter of employment long before I did, and I was pretty stressed about it. It was getting towards the end of the semester, and I was getting ready to graduate. It was literally like a week or two before school was going to get out. And I was so worried about it, so stressed. I called up my old youth leader from back home to kind of vent and just to kind of unload, really. I was just overcome with the unknown. I was facing some uncertainty in my life, and he kind of just listened, and we talked, and I finally got up enough courage to come to Jesus and just say, Jesus, I can't handle this anymore. I don't know what's going to happen. It's causing too much stress. I'm not sleeping. I just need to turn it over to you. And just sort of prayed, God, just would you just release me of this burden? And it was very freeing. It was very scary, but very freeing to be able to pray and say, okay, God, it's in your hands. Whatever happens, it's on you. A couple days later, I got that letter in the mail that said I was hired. And I actually was pretty blessed. This is a couple pictures. I got a better job than a lot of my peers, actually. I got hired as a camera operator at the tennis venue in Stone Mountain, Georgia. So that's me setting up a camera and then running a robotic camera for the tennis venue. And it ended up working out, and I even was blessed beyond what I would have expected. But it was very hard in the times of that worry, not knowing how things were going to play out in the end. You see, everyone has baggage. We all get it from somewhere or someone or somehow, and we carry this baggage, whether it be stress or busyness or worry or whatever, We carry it with us from day to day. However, there is a place that we can leave this baggage that we've acquired, no matter where we've acquired it from. And Jesus gives us a beautiful invitation to place it at the foot of the cross. Read this scripture on the screen from Matthew 11, 28. Jesus says this, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Come to me. We have a beautiful invitation to trade in our heavy burdens for a lighter one. But oftentimes we're too distracted to recognize that invitation and to respond to it. Think of the relief that comes when you've received that rest in your life. Rest from the rules that may bog us down, or the expectations that have been placed upon us, or maybe it's the anxiousness that begins to take away your life. Think about how beautiful it is to know that we have an invitation to trade it in for a lighter one. Now here's the thing that I want you to remember as we kind of wrap this up, is that you're not alone on this journey and in your struggle. And no matter how many bags you carry, know this, you're not alone. But we can't all make it to the cross on our own. Sometimes we need to help each other. I think it's a privilege we get to carry each other to the cross, helping each other, carrying each other's burdens. We sort of adopted this theme in the youth group this year of family. And a family is there for each other. There's drama sometimes in a family, and there's some ups and downs, but no matter what, family's all you got. And so we want to stick together and know, so that no student here thinks that they have to carry the burdens that have been placed upon them on their own. That we carry them together. It's the same thing that can happen in any church or any Christ-centered community, and it's a beautiful thing. It's not a sign of pity, but it's out of necessity that we carry each other's burdens. Because sometimes we just can't make it on our own. So how can we do all this? A couple things. How do we do it? Well, we spend time together. We build community. We build relationships by having life together. Don't underestimate the value of a relationship, especially in your time of need. We have meaningful conversations. We should talk and also listen. It's a way of building trust. But lastly, I think we just need to believe in each other. A couple of weeks back, right after Christmas, our youngest son, Silas, is 8 years old. And he had got a new video game for Christmas, so he was down in the basement playing Nintendo. And after a while, we could hear the kind of the screaming and whatever. He wasn't happy, so things weren't going well in Mario or whatever. And he came walking up the stairs, and he was crying, and he was really upset, and he came over to Jen, and he says, I need help. I just can't make it. And he was really frustrated. For an 8-year-old, the burden of not being able to complete a level on Mario Odyssey is a big deal. We all carry burdens in different shapes, sizes, and colors. And he asked Jen to come down and just play with him in the basement. So she went downstairs with him and just kind of sat beside him, and before long, he completed the level. And he was like, Mom, I did it. You helped me. She's like, I didn't really do anything. I just sat here. And he said, yeah, but you know, I think I just realized that I just needed someone to be down here who believed in me. That's our job. To be there for each other. No one should have to carry the burdens that have been placed upon them on their own. We've seen too many people in this world who have gone down the wrong path because of that. Will you be willing to carry someone else's bag to the foot of the cross? If so, then you have to pay attention. You have to be aware. You have to be alert to the needs of not only yourself but others around you. You have to be willing to have the difficult conversation. And sometimes you have to be willing just to be quiet and just be present. This is how we will come to the cross together. So who do you need to reach out to? Be present. Be aware. And let's walk to the cross together. Oh, you're carrying around with you in your head all your to-do list, the things you need to do in the next couple of days or even today. Now, with our hands, we might carry around the stuff that we work with. Or if you have a little one or a grandchild, you might carry around literally the ones that you love. But there are also things that we carry on our shoulders each and every day. The struggles of life, financial burdens, perhaps there's some relationship baggage or maybe even some emotional cargo. And that can become a heavy weight and a very much a burden in our lives. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. But what we want to do, though, is unpack the damaging baggage that often becomes a burden on our journey of life and faith. Not only for individuals, but for us collectively as the body of Christ. So I'm going to elicit some help from our students, and we're going to kind of make a little game out of this to start. So Jacob, will you come on up here? He's going to kind of be my co-host here at the beginning. And then we're going to have some other students come up. The girls, you want to come up and help? And we are going to unpack three things that I think are some troubling baggage that we carry with us, each and every one of us, on a day-to-day basis. So do you want me to give you some game show music? So let's see if I can get this going. Okay, go ahead. It's on. It is.
Now it is. Okay. I'm Jacob. I guess I'll be your game show host for the evening. What?
Morning.
Noon, afternoon-ish era. Anyway, let's get on to the game show. Okay. Here we have three things that every one of us have dealt with at some point in our lives, and we're going to treat this like a game show. So let's see what's inside suitcase number one. It's a state that nobody wants to live in. I mean, I'm not talking about Ohio. I'm talking about the state of mental tension or stress that can be caused by problems in your life, at work, or at school, if you still go. But it's for the younger kids. And it's something that has like strong feelings and can make us have anxiety and can be physically exhausting. And the winners of this great prize are Anna and Bella. Come on down. But this isn't just any stress. This is stress that they get to keep for weeks, months, or even years at a time. Lucky them. It can weaken the immune system, cause high blood pressure, fatigue, depression, anxiety, and even heart disease. Congratulations. How do you feel about your prize?
Well, I was a little stressed about getting here on time, and now that I hear that I might get depression, that stresses me out more. And now talking in front of you stresses me out, so Bella...
Ditto.
How is stress a burden for you, or for students like you in your life?
Everything is stressful. Everything I do causes me stress. When I sleep, when I eat... And I stress eat because I'm stressed. I'm sorry.
Stress is like an annoying little gnat that just never goes away. So it's kind of like Bella.
Okay, this is the audience participation time now. So Jacob's going to walk the aisle and he's going to ask a question and he's going to see if any of you will be willing to answer.
And fair warning, if I don't get any volunteers, I'm going to hold the mic in front of your face. And then you have to talk. Okay, so, well, let's start off with simple hand raising. How many of you have experienced stress in your life? That's almost everybody. And if you didn't raise your hand, you're lying. Okay, and how is that stress a burden in your life? Any volunteers? Raise your hand.
It interrupts your sleep pattern.
And sleep is very important. Any others?
It tends to make us overeat.
Any other volunteers for stress? Okay.
So stress is something that we can all relate to, and we'll unpack it a little bit more in a few minutes as to how it affects us and then what we can do about it. But next we want to go on to suitcase number two. What's their prize?
Suitcase number two. It's an eight-letter word that rhymes with fizziness. Wait, show them the suitcase. This suitcase comes from my personal collection. Every retreat I've ever gone to, every like camp, I've used this suitcase. It fits approximately a week's worth of clothes. And it's just a reminder not to be too buzzy in your life. And to take time and relax and settle down. And this eight-letter word is busyness. Busyness is having a lot of activity in your life and not being idle or having time to relax or alone time that you can spend with God. And when you have a lot of things to do at once, there's no end in sight. And the winners of this awesome prize are Lily and Ariel. Come on down. And our busy schedules might seem lively at times, but in reality, most of those activities that they spend their lives doing are typically trivial and meaningless, and just are to fill time. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
How do you feel about your prize?
Feel a bit conflicted. I like being busy, but sometimes it gets to be a little bit too much, and I get sick from going too many places, so.
Yeah, I can agree to that, especially when it starts to stack up, you get kind of, like, busy.
And how is busyness a burden in your lives as a student?
Well, as a student at Wadsworth High School, I'm currently a senior, so I've got a lot of things going on. I got AP classes that I'm doing, extracurricular activities like speech and debate, and I got NHS and Girl Scouts. And also, since I'm a senior, I get to worry about college, too, so I got a lot of busy stuff going on.
And doesn't that just seem like fun? Lily?
I'm just a sophomore, so I don't really have to worry about all the college stuff, except for, like, ACTs, which are kind of a big deal. But it gets to be a lot sometimes. Like, I play tennis, and during tennis season, you can play, like, up to five-hour matches, and then you have to wait for your teammates to finish, and then you get to go home and write your essays and do piano lessons or whatever you have to do. So it can get to be a lot sometimes.
And now our favorite part of the time, ask the audience. Okay, again, how many of you would say that you're busy in life? Okay, and how many of you, like, raise your hand if you would say that it was busier as a child than as an adult? Okay, now busier as an adult than a child? Okay. And anyone have personal busyness stories they would like to share? I'm warning you, I mean, you might just get the mic.
How can busyness be a burden?
Got one in the back.
Anybody else? Busyness a burden for you? I see a lot of heads nodding, so.
I'll take the heads as a hand raised. And
there we go. Mrs. Manning.
Mrs. Manning.
The list never gets done. You just keep adding and adding, and the things just don't ever go off the list.
Right. Right, absolutely. So, all right, so let's move on to suitcase number three. There's one more prize that we're going to talk about.
And this prize is personally in everyone's life, and I know that for a fact. It is like a never-ending bridge. It's worry. It just causes anxiety, unease, and uncertainty. And the winners of this amazing prize are Natalie and Krista. Come on down. And the kicker is, people think that when you worry enough, you could prevent bad things from happening. But, in reality, worrying too much is the bad thing that you're trying to prevent. And how do you feel about that prize?
It's not good. I'm a little worried about it.
Touché. And how is worry a burden in the lives of a student?
I don't worry, because I just don't let it bug me down.
Me and Natalie are the opposite. By the way, we're siblings, if you didn't know. I'm the one who always has something on my mind and can never really get it off my mind, so I just keep worrying and worrying.
Once again, time to ask the audience. How many of you have worried in life at some point or another? A fair amount. And any volunteers before I pick randomly? Two, right next to each other.
If everybody said that they don't worry, they're liars. When you raise three teenage daughters, you worry. But I don't worry anymore. I'm retired.
Good answer.
My granddaughter gave me a slogan. Worry is like a rocking chair, but it doesn't get you anywhere.
That's a good line. Might have to take that one day. Any other volunteers? Back to you, Tim.
All right. So definitely worry is something we can all relate to, whether it's fear of the unknown or worrying about the future. You know, we certainly can relate to that. So what we want to do now is kind of unpack this a little bit more. Thank you guys for helping out with that. And kind of give some solutions to how perhaps we can overcome these burdens in life and how we can even come together to help each other out on this journey that we're taking together, a journey of life and a journey of faith. So first thing we want to explore as we go dig back into the stress suitcase is I think the thing that we need to do, at least one thing that we need to do to overcome that, is we need to be willing to cry out. Okay, so you can write that right there in your handout. To cry out, to be willing to be real and open and honest with other people about the things that are becoming a burden in our life, our stresses, the things that are bringing us down. Let me give you some statistics on stress. So 50% of teens struggle with stress on a daily basis compared to 37% of adults. Also, 44% of all Americans say that their stress level is on the rise. Here's an interesting statistic that I've learned by working with the school, Wadsworth City Schools. I've had the opportunity to be a part of the guidance counselor advisory team. And I understand that for the last couple years, they've taken like a survey of students in kindergarten through 12th grade, and they've asked a variety of questions. But one of the questions had to do with the effect of, what is something that you're struggling with right now? And from kindergarten through 12th grade, every grade had the same answer that was number one. And that was stress and anxiety. Our students are stressed out, and they're having a hard time dealing with that. They took the same questionnaire the next year, 2017, and got the same results. So I think this does show us that our students are dealing with stress, or at least struggling with stress, in perhaps ways that we didn't when we were their age. We know that stress can become a trigger for depression, and that there's a correlation between the two. 1 in 5 adults struggles with depression. That's 1 in 5 young adults, I should say, and that's more than any other generation. 26% is the depression rate in teenagers. Of that, 3/4 are girls. And there's a connection between suicide and depression, so it's something we definitely want to be aware of in our community and other communities who are struggling with. How can we help young people who are dealing with depression? How can we be there for them? It's something that's definitely a burden not only for young people, but for all of us. So what I want us to kind of think about is, how can crying out help us overcome stress in our life? So back in November, we had a guest speaker come in to talk to the students and even two of the parents of students. And this speaker, her name was Melissa. She came from Columbus, and she runs a nonprofit called Be the Light. And her nonprofit is aimed at providing help and care to people who are struggling with mental health, specifically in the areas of depression. And she came and talked and shared with our students her own story about how she was struggling with depression as a young adult and stress, and how she, through some challenges in her life, was finally able to work through that. And then she was able to help the students begin to talk about and think about what are some practical things that we could do, and I think would apply to all of us in this room, that would help. One of the things that I valued from that experience was that we facilitated a conversation. And where I feel like it's something that happens a lot in our culture is we just don't want to talk about these difficult things. And for young people in particular, there's not always, in their minds, perhaps a safe space where they can have these conversations. So my first challenge, I guess I would ask, is that in our own willingness to cry out, that we would be hopefully fostering opportunities to have meaningful conversations with people, and obviously particularly those who are struggling with stress and depression. We see examples in Scripture of ways in which we can even work with that. Isaiah the prophet, in chapter 43, I think, or 40, verse 31, he says this: "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Some other translations use the word, instead of wait, they use the word hope. Or even another says trust. I find it interesting the connection between the words wait, hope, and trust. Because oftentimes I feel like, especially when we're dealing with difficulty in our life, it's really hard to be patient. But we can find strength through those quiet, simple times of waiting on God. And that's how we build up trust and hope in Him. And that's a call for all of us to respond to as we continue to grow in our faith. And it's something that we can do together. Because if we keep these stressful things all bottled up inside, we know it's going to lead to disaster. I have Reagan and I think Leah are going to come and share a few of the practical steps that the students, along with their adult leaders and mentors, came up with on how to deal with stress in their life. And as they read these, maybe see if you think that it might apply to your life as well.
Okay, so we came up with be thankful, make a list, find quiet time, talk it out, eat well, avoid caffeine, and listen to chill music.
Along with that, we came up with gathering with friends, reading books, sleeping, actually making your bed, ask for help, set goals every day, and acknowledge your weaknesses and strengths.
Very good. Thank you, guys. One of our adult leaders even gave this suggestion. For those that are drivers, and this would apply to most of us, he says that for him, a de-stressor is to drive in silence. I don't know about you, but I have to have like the radio on or something. He said he once drove from Wadsworth to Toledo in complete silence, and that was his way of like detox and de-stressing in his life. So whatever it is, I think we need to be willing and aware what are the things that might work in your life that it would be practical and simple. Don't make it too complex. That would help you deal with the stress in your life. And certainly talking it out with another person, I would say, is a good idea. All right, so let's move on to the next one, busyness. And for this one, I think the solution that we need to work on is to log off. So you can write that in the second blank there. We want to log off. I don't know about you, but in our kitchen, we used to have a calendar, a monthly calendar on a dry erase board where we could like write in all the things of all the different activities. We got three kids, so a family of five. Trying to keep track of all the activities is sometimes overwhelming is an understatement. Nod your head if you know what I'm talking about. Okay. And so we would keep this calendar and we would write all the stuff in, and it was overwhelming just looking at it. So now we've downgraded to just a weekly calendar and we're just going Sunday through Saturday. And even still, it can be kind of overwhelming, but I got to admit, as the schedule kind of fills up on this dry erase board in our kitchen, sometimes I take a little bit of pride in it. Because when I look at that busy schedule, it kind of makes me feel like I'm accomplishing something. And I'm conflicted, just like what Lily said. Because I feel like, well, that's a good thing. I'm busy. We're doing things. However, I do sometimes just feel like I'm just an Uber driver for my kids, driving them from one place to the other. There's no perks, though. You don't get paid, and there's no tips or anything. But I'm not so certain if the busy schedule is something that we should really be worshiping. But in America, it kind of seems like we do that. Like, have you ever had this conversation? You ask someone like, hey, how's it going? And they say, oh, it's been busy. As if that's something we should be bragging about. Maybe it's not. Maybe our busyness is actually interfering with some other things in our life that we probably should be focusing on more. But it's a reality. We live in a busy, hectic culture. Let me give you a couple statistics on busyness, though. Did you know that those of you that are taking... How many of you guys take a morning commute to work? You got to drive somewhere. They say that's more stressful and hectic than airplane pilots, by the way. So it's kind of crazy, but think about how much time you spend in your commute, your travels to and from work. In other cultures, they work less hours per week, up to 10 hours less per week, and yet they sometimes are more productive. In America, you probably might get 14 vacation days. If you lived in Norway, you'd get 70 vacation days. And studies say that their work ethic is higher than most any in the world. Americans don't get enough sleep because they're so busy. How many of you guys get 6 hours or less of sleep a night? And you're supposed to get like eight. So that's what the average American gets, less than 6 hours of sleep a night. But here's another thing I want to point out. Sometimes, inadvertently, I feel like as parents, maybe even as grandparents, that we're adding to the busy schedules of our kids and our grandkids. And it in turn is making their lives, it's causing stress. There's a correlation. So we have to be very careful in our day-to-day activities. Are we just adding to the problem? If I had a dollar for every time I saw a student walk through the youth room doors with that exhausted look on their face, I'd have a lot of dollars. They're worn out. They're exhausted. So we have to be very careful with our busyness. How about the smartphone? That can be a distraction. Okay, here's another question for you. The average American spends how much time on a smartphone? Who says more than 1 hour a day? Okay, what about more than 2 hours a day? Anybody say more than three? How about four? 4 hours and 5 minutes the average American spends on a smartphone. So it can very much consume our lives and takes up a lot of our time. So we need to kind of be practical with these new realities. So what we do in the youth group is, when we're getting to the discussion time and the topic we're going to talk about, we pass around a basket. We tell all the students, okay, put your cell phone in the basket. And they turn their phones off, put them in the basket, and allows us to at least have a certain block of time of distraction-free discussion. Maybe you need to do that at home. Don't let your kids have the cell phone at the table or whatever. Just find some time where they can just log off. Another example that I've tried, that we've worked on in youth group at different times, is how can we also use this device to help with our hecticness so that we can slow down? Psalm 46:10, there's your next fill-in, says, "Be still and know that I am God." We need to learn when to take those times of Sabbath and rest in the presence of God. And so what I've tried to teach our students is just set this timer on your phone for 7 minutes and then place it face down on your desk or wherever. And don't touch it, don't look at it, and do nothing else until that timer goes off except to spend some time in prayer or meditation. Maybe you need to start with 60 seconds or 5 minutes or whatever, but work your way up so that you can learn to set aside time away from our hectic schedules. Be practical with it. Slow down, step away, and log off. Start small and see how much of an impact it might have on your life for the good. Mary and Martha, we know, struggled with busyness. We saw two different opposites, actually, kind of something that we can maybe relate to. So you had Mary in Luke chapter 10, very attentive, sitting at the foot of Jesus, listening and taking it all in. And then you had Martha, was more like the busybody. She's taking care of the house and prepping food and this and that. Very busy and perhaps missing out on some of those Jesus encounters. The challenge I'd have for you is that we need to become more aware of how God is already at work in our lives or in the lives of others. So one thing that I've done to help me become more thankful of those blessings of how God is at work in my life is I started keeping a journal, just writing one or two things in it every day of, I call it, it's the little things. Can I think of at least one or two things from this day that I can thank God for, that I can just slow down and be calm in His presence and give thanks to Him? And then lastly, when it comes to worry, this is the biggest challenge of all. It's easier said than done, and that is to let go. To let go. 40 million adults struggle with worry each and every day. General anxiety disorder is on the rise and is the most common mental disorder. Anxiety amongst young people and teenagers is 20%, and it's on the rise as well. And it got me thinking as I was preparing for this, why is it that we worry? Why do we worry? Because we want to stay in control. We don't like the unknown. The future sometimes can be scary. Maybe we have some fears in our life. And we certainly like our certainty. I think we're almost addicted to being certain of how things will play out. But that's not something that God promises us. In Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7, Paul says this, "But in everything, do not be anxious about everything, but in everything, turn to God in prayer." Do not be anxious about anything, but turn to the Lord in prayer. There are other examples that Jesus gives. He's talking to the disciples in Luke chapter 12, and he says, you know, guys, why are you worrying about what we're going to eat or what you're going to wear? You're worrying about your life. Don't you see how I'm taking care of the birds of the air and the beasts of the field? Their needs are met. Won't I take care of your needs as well? But letting go means placing full trust in God. And that can definitely be a challenge. I'll share a little story, a personal experience in my life of when worry was had sort of overtaken me to the point where I didn't know what to do. I was in my senior year of college. I went to Asbury University down in Kentucky. And it was before the 1996 Summer Olympics in Atlanta. And for the 2 years prior, there was a contract that was worked out with my school that students who, if they went through the proper training and took some extra classes, that they could be equipped and trained to go and work some low-level jobs with the Atlanta Olympic Broadcasting Committee. And broadcast communications was my major. And so I did the time, I put in the extra effort, I did all these extra trainings, made several trips back and forth from Atlanta, went to summer school, and all this so I could be prepared to get a job and work for the summer and get some great experience working at the Olympics. And I put in all this effort, and it was about 2 weeks before graduation, and all my peers had received their recognition letter and their employment offer, except for me. And I began to stress out and worry about, is it going to happen? Am I not going to get a job? Did I put in all this training and work for nothing? And I was so stressed and overcome, I couldn't sleep. I didn't know what to do. I had enough other transition and change that were about to happen in my life, and it was too much. And I almost broke down, and so I called a trusted friend, my former youth leader, to talk with him about it. And he offered me some good advice, and at least he was a listening ear. And what I came to the realization was that what I needed to do, which was obvious, is that I needed to turn over this worry and place it at the foot of the cross and give it to Jesus. And I just remember specifically getting to a point in my life where I just couldn't handle it anymore, and I just begged for God, please, just take this burden from me. I don't care if I get a job or not. I just don't want that stress and this worry on my shoulders. And let me tell you how freeing it was to actually be in that position of just like, you know what, I'm at peace. One way or the other, God, I'm at peace. It was a couple days later then, after I had finally turned things over to God, and you can put the picture on the screen of when I finally got my acceptance letter and my employment opportunity. And so I actually got a job that was even better than most of my peers. I got the opportunity to work as a camera operator at the tennis venue in Stone Mountain. And so that's me up there working a robotic camera for working with people from the BBC as we ran camera for the Olympic broadcasting. But it was only after the time when I was willing just to let it go of it and give it over to God that things worked out for my benefit. You see, everyone here has baggage. We all get it from somewhere or someone or somehow, and we carry it, this baggage, around with us every day. And however, there is a place, though, that we can leave it all, no matter how we acquired it. We have an invitation from Christ to leave it at the foot of the cross. Let's look at this scripture from Matthew chapter 11. Jesus gives this invitation to all. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Friends, we have an invitation from Jesus to trade in our heavy burdens for a lighter one. An invitation to come to the foot of the cross and place our burdens, our suitcases, our baggage, and turn it over to Him. And then we can be at rest. And think of the relief that comes when we rest in the presence of God, perhaps freed from the rules or the expectations of life and the anxiousness that is often life-taking. But here's the thing that I want you to understand. And we saw it earlier with the show of hands. You're not alone in your struggle. We all handle and deal with stress in different ways. We all have busyness that's on our plate. And we all worry. So you're not alone in your struggle. But Galatians 6:2 reminds us that it's a privilege to carry each other's burdens. We can't all make it to the cross on our own, but we can help each other get there. We've really worked hard this year to create a family atmosphere in the student ministry. Family, you have drama, but you have love. And so we really work hard to be there for each other. And if there's anything I want these students to walk away with, is to know that they are not alone and that they have someone who has their back. And it can be that way for us as well, as the body of Christ and as a congregation here at Wadsworth United Methodist Church. We don't all make it to the cross on our own. So don't look at it, though, as a sign of pity when you have to help someone or if you need help. But look at it as a necessity. And look at it as a privilege. You get to carry each other and their burdens. So how we do it is we spend time together, we build life together, like a family does. We want to be there for one another, to the good and to the bad, not just on Sunday mornings, but in all aspects of life. Number two, we strive to have meaningful conversations. We want to talk, but we also want to listen. And lastly, we believe in each other. We want to believe in each other. I'll close with this story. A couple weeks ago, right after Christmas, our 8-year-old Silas had just received a video game, Nintendo, for Christmas. And so he was playing this new game. And he went down to the basement to play Super Mario Odyssey. And he was playing it by himself, and he got to a point where we heard some screaming and yelling and crying. He was pretty stressed out over this video game that he couldn't beat this level. Now, that stress for an 8-year-old is just as genuine as the stress we all face too, because it was real for him. And so he came upstairs and he found Jen, my wife, and he said, "I can't do it. I just can't." He was so mad, frustrated. He said, "I just can't do it. Could you come down and help me?" So Jen went down to the basement with him and sat next to him as he played, and it didn't take long for him to complete that level. She's like, he said, "Mom, I did it. You helped me." And she said, "Well, I didn't really do anything. I just sat here." And he said, "Yeah, I guess all I needed was someone just to be down here with me who believed in me." Isn't that what we all need? Don't we all need someone to be with us who believes in us, who will sit beside us, sometimes just being present, not even speaking? That's what we all need. And maybe there is someone in your life that if you would open your eyes and become more aware, you would see and realize that there is someone who is with you, who's connected with you, who has a burden that they need help with it. And you can help them carry that bag to the cross. Whose bag will you carry? You're not alone in the struggle. We can't all make it to the cross on our own. So who do you need to reach out to? That's the challenge that we face each and every day. So how can we help each other get to the cross and carrying our burdens? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for just being with us and being present and showing us a better way. And for willingly taking on all the baggage and the burdens that have been heaped upon us. And we thank you so much that you can take those burdens and exchange them for something lighter. Lord, I pray that we will all have the courage to be present, to be open, and to be willing to carry each other to your feet so we might become more like you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You can stand and we'll close with our last song, which is "How Great Thou Art."
Thank you.
right, so we're going to close it out like we do in the youth group. So you guys come on out to the middle, and don't catch us on fire, please. Okay, come on out here. Go ahead.
Okay.
So this is how we close out our youth group, as we all kind of gather in the center, and we've adopted, I told you earlier, this theme this year of family. And so what we do is we kind of gather in, and we all put our hands in the middle, and but you have to put your palms up. So if you're close by, you can kind of reach forward and or lean or reach, however you want to do it, but you put your palms up for
positivity.
For positivity. And then George, a hockey player in our youth group, he came up with this, so it's almost like we're part of a team or something. We'll say family on three, and then we'll go one, two, three, and then we go family, just like, you know, like we're winning the Super Bowl or something, okay? So, but Jacob's going to do that. He's going to break us out, and that'll be our benediction, okay? Get it?
Got it.
Okay, good.
Great.
Go.
Family on three!
One, two, three, family! All right. God bless. Good job, everybody. Give high fives to Dale. That was a lot better.
No, George always goes.
Yeah, that's right. You gotta bark it out.
Very, very good. Excellent job.
Thanks. See you in a bit, like an hour.
Yeah.
Or two. Hey, Leora, how are you doing?
Good.
Home for college, huh?
Yeah,
for a day.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'll see you.
You get Monday off?